League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hour number two starts now. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Barry, Nick, and Joel in the studio today. Tomorrow, join us at Nick's place, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. We're going to be there for our normal time slot, 1 to 4. Do not expect to see us at 7 a.m. That's where they pay the big bucks. That's John, Lance, and that crew. But they're going to be opening up daily, serving up breakfast, lunch, and dinner tomorrow, plus bringing you sports all the time, 40 TVs. Make sure you stop by the neighborhood sports bar or with Great Eats, Nick's place, tomorrow, 7 a.m., 4 p.m., all the lineup all the way through until the Blitz. So stop by and see us tomorrow. And as we gave you the kind of hint of the day yesterday with Courtney in, tomorrow, yeah, if you're smart, you show up at Nick's place, get that first chance to get those Suspects t-shirts.
I would like to request just a friendly reminder on the rundown or something, maybe a little text message at about 10 o'clock.
Another one?
Look, okay.
I gave you the one today. How many
does it
take?
I've got a lot on my mind this week, all right?
Jeez.
I've got a lot going on. And just, it would be beneficial that I don't show up here at 12:30 and go, oh, I'm going to be late.
I'll give you the reminder. It's
thank
not like,
you. Thank
it's
not you, like Nicholas.
Joel's asking for a reminder to go to the restroom. That was just weird.
I'm just, yeah, thank you.
Skip the fact that it was done intentionally. It's okay.
There's a story that came out on ESPN, no pun intended. You'll see what I mean in a second.
Mm-hmm.
It dropped at 10:05, written by Ryan Russell. Or no, I'm sorry. It's about Ryan Russell, as told to Kevin Arnovitz. And Ryan Russell is a three-year NFL vet drafted by the Cowboys in 2015. Played at Purdue, played one season with the Cowboys, two with the Bucks. Started seven games for the Bucks in 2017. And he's looking to get back in the league. He is also coming out as bisexual.
Okay.
And it's going to be interesting to see how this affects his ability to get back in the lead, or does it. He's wanted to play defensive end. Sat down with Jeremy Schapp to talk about it. So he's decided that he's going to come out and discuss being bisexual and also trying to get back in the league. And this is now the first time that I think you've had an NFL vet. We know about the kid that played college ball that came out.
Well, you got Ryan O'Callaghan too, which was he was the Patriots offensive lineman that has since come out. He has a book out.
But he's not trying to play again.
Talking, okay.
What was the kid's name?
Oh, Tuiasosopo was one.
No.
Ezra Tuiasosopo was one player that tried that. Well, I think he was done playing by the time that he came out.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, the kid from you're talking
Michael
about the kid
Sam.
From Missouri.
Michael Sam.
Yeah, from Missouri. Yeah.
Yeah. So he came out and was openly gay and was drafted. Mm-hmm. But this will be the first time that an NFL vet, I think, has said so, trying to get back into the league. And he's really not coming out as gay. He's coming out as bisexual. But that's going to be interesting because I think you get back to the whole discussion of, well, you know, as a football player, that's one thing. Does this create a distraction for a team, you know, off the field or in the locker room, and do teams look at that as a distraction? So
it'll be, I read some of the excerpts from his book, Ryan O'Callaghan, that is, when he was talking about, is the league ready for this? And he believes that the league is. And he seems to feel like it's in a better place than maybe it was in the past. And he seemed to be somewhat confident that that in a situation like you were speaking about, that there will be teams that give these players another opportunity.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting because there's going to have to come a point in our society where what someone does in their bedroom has no bearing on what they do professionally or anything else. And I think we're still hung up on that. But I'm not saying I agree with it, but I'm saying I understand in a testosterone-driven, male-dominated sport like football, where being tough and being a, quote, man is preached. That's just from the time you start playing. It was kids and Pop Warner, you know. You got hurt, they're like, hey, walk it off. Like, literally, walk it off.
Right.
Was how you were told to, you know, so it's going to be interesting. There will come a point in our society where this isn't a big deal. But until then, when a guy wants to come out and say he's bisexual and he plays football, it's going to be a topic.
See, I just, you know, with the whole Michael Sam situation, I felt like, to your point about, or to the question about whether or not the league is ready, I think the league is ready. I think the reason why the league may have appeared to not be ready is because, and I hate to say it, but ESPN, when Michael Sam got drafted, all they were showing over and over mm-hmm. and over again was Michael Sam kissing his boyfriend. And there's nothing wrong with that, but I'm just saying that that kept on being replayed on the national platforms, and it was a story that just was not going away. So I feel like, to a certain extent, Michael Sam did it to himself, but to a certain extent, the media did it too, because I feel like if they didn't keep replaying that clip, even if he did get made fun of in the locker room or something, it would have been taken care of within that locker room. I don't think, like, how many crazy stories do we hear about Ryan O'Callaghan coming out? Nothing really. Michael Sam was just crazy because they kept playing those clips, and it did him a disservice for no reason.
In a way, it felt like they were kind of forcing it on people, like, hey, look at these two dudes kissing. No, you look at it. You know, and I think that they did that for the visibility and for the viewership and the sensationalism of it. And I think that that had probably – some people are trying to be accepting, but you can't force them all at once. Just, hey, just accept this if it's something that's you've not dealt with before. And so you kind of throw it in people's face. You got to let them come to terms with it on their own terms. I'm not suggesting that I'm excusing it if you don't agree with, you know, homosexuality or whatever. But I'm saying you just can't throw it in their face like ESPN was doing. Be like, what's the big deal, fellas?
But I think, too, I think Michael Sam was a guy that wanted to kind of wear the hat and be the guy that kind of, you know.
He kind of wanted that
spotlight. Broke down the barriers and tried to set a new set of standards for the locker rooms. Because I'll tell you this. I don't think it's about the organizations being ready and better prepared for a situation
players.
Like this. I think the bigger thing is going to be the fact that we all know that in locker rooms, there is no HR department.
Yeah.
And that's where a lot of locker rooms still have a Richie Incognito type.
Yep.
A guy that doesn't have a filter, doesn't care, and really wants to stir it up. And that's what you have to see how your organization and your locker room and how your veteran players can handle it, because that's where it's really going to be pushed.
Speaking of balls, George Springer just hit a home run.
Hit that all the way to Galveston, Barry.
No. See, but I think one of the things that I'm going to be interested to see is are we going to see players come out and support him, whether it's former teammates with the Cowboys or the Bucks, or just players in general that are like, hey, you know what? It's 2019. Y'all get over it. This isn't – I mean, what that man does is his business. Although at the same time, I think the counter argument to that is, well, if it's your business, then why'd you have to come out and tell everybody? Because that is something I think that's worthy of a discussion is, if we're not supposed to make a big deal of it, why are you making a big deal of it? I never had to come out as straight, and this is just I'm throwing out conversation here. But so I think that that's part of it is we got to get to the point where, as a society, it just doesn't matter. You don't have to come out as gay because it doesn't matter that you're gay.
But you also don't, it's your prerogative if you don't want to talk about it at all.
Yeah.
And it also shouldn't be an issue.
Right.
And I think the other thing that you take into consideration, because you're going to get the players that are coming out and say, hey, as long as he gets it done on Sundays, I don't care what that guy does in his free time.
Because they're going to be asked.
But true, that's true too. But I think the other thing is, it's going to take when you get an impact player. When you get a player that isn't just like a Michael Sam that's kind of a, you know, a fringe type NFL player.
Like an elite or player at that position.
If you get a big-time player, and I don't care what the position is, but if you get a big-time player And he's the guy that says, hey, this is who I am. I think that's what it's going to take. Then, because now you've got, you have to respect him in the locker room no matter what because of his abilities. But you also then you get the attention is going to be drawn to that situation more. And it's not going to be about, well, does the team cut him or not? And did the team cut him because he was gay, or did the team cut him because he couldn't play? If you get an impact player that can really play, now all that's out the window. And now it's just, hey, this is reality. This is what's going on in society. This is today's day. And you just let it go. Don't worry about it.
I chuckled because somebody texted and said kind of what we're saying. Should being gay or bisexual really even matter nowadays? I bet half of these athletes out here are, and the way he put it, it was
appropriate.
It was funny, but I get his point. He's just saying a lot of these athletes are probably gay. I'll just leave it at that. But
he didn't know how to filter that one.
We'll just say he talked about eating stuff like groceries. Okay.
Leave it at that. Yeah. We get it. We get the picture.
So that's what made me chuckle. He used the word booty hole. I don't know. See? It made y'all laugh too. I don't know. Dump it just in case. I don't know.
This is the thing with Barry. He goes right away with the
I can't.
And then on tape delay, which we weren't expecting, he says it anyway.
I didn't want to say it, but you know, sometimes you got. Jeez.
My goodness.
Well,
but my point is,
if you're
on
the stream, you're welcome. And yeah, I can say stream because that's what we do with the audio.
Exactly.
Not the other stream.
Yeah. Look at that face. That's fantastic. The point is, long story, for me, the media can make this a story if they wanted to. Like, they can go around and follow Ryan O'Callaghan right now if he's, like, holding hands with another dude, and they can get B-roll and start publishing that. And the next thing you know, this is a big deal. Is this guy a distraction? Did he get cut because he's gay, or is it because he really was bad at football? Like, all those things are going to pop up. They could easily make a story out of this if they really wanted to.
Right. It makes me wonder, because somebody else said, Why is it that we have to come out or people have to come out? Why are we at that point? That's just where we are in society.
I tend to agree. I mean, yeah.
It's messed up, I think, in a way that that's something that you have to – that's almost a label, right? It'd almost be like if you had to come out and confess your fetish. Could you imagine that? Like, you probably – everybody has something that's freaky about them that they don't tell other people, just their partner. But it would be like you have to be like, hey, guys, I want to get back in the NFL, but I really like, I don't know, having oranges thrown at my testicles, which is a thing. I know a guy. Tell you that story on the other side.
Get out of here.
Swear to God, I'll tell you the story on the other side.
Oh, boy. Stay tuned for that. And a whole lot more. I don't know how anybody can walk away now. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
G'day, Sam Windsor from the Houston Sabercats here. Rugby's simple. Make tackles, hit rucks, score tries. Almost as simple as using the app. Stream ESPN 97.5 from anywhere, even down under.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, rolling through hour number two of the show. Quick reminder, 2:30, Sigmund Bloom. Fantasy football questions. One segment only. So therefore, get your questions ready. We take calls first, then we hit the text line and the tweets. So you've been warned. How about that? Tyler says Barry is going to be camping out at Nick's place starting tonight. Make sure he's in line to get his T-shirt. He's going to tweet you a reminder tomorrow morning to be at Nick's place.
Good. Thank you.
Thank you, Tyler.
I appreciate that, Tyler.
I'll give you his cell phone if you just want to call him.
No, I don't appreciate that.
No? You don't want me giving Tyler your cell phone?
No. Okay. That's a hard pass.
So, weren't you going to tell us about your boy?
Yeah, speaking about a hard pass, what friend of yours likes of taking sun-kissed to the
first of all,
to
Mr.
the grave?
Mr. Get Me out here saying that it was my thing. No, nice try, pal. But that is not the case. Yeah, trying to be a funny guy.
You thought you'd have a pick-me event.
So, it wasn't a friend of mine, but it was a guy that, okay, so actually, if I remember this correctly, This is when I was working as a maintenance man for an apartment complex. Mm-hmm. All right. And I knew, like, it was my wife at the time, who's now my ex, but her mom managed the place. So that's how I got the gig. And we were all sitting in the office one day talking. And one of the ladies that worked there was like, yeah, my friend is a prostitute. And sometimes dudes have weird requests. And I was like, really? What are some of the weird things? And she said that one day she came home and was saying that some guy paid her $1,000 for him to dress in girls' undergarments. And he would bend over and she would throw oranges.
You're lying.
At his testicles from the behind. And just like, I was like, wow, it's like a dunking booth, but there's no, nobody's going in the water. That was a real, and I was like, you have to be making this up. She goes, no. She said, he is a regular client about once a quarter. He spends $1,000. She goes and buys a bag of oranges and she makes him happy.
What is she, Justin Verlander? Is she painting the corner and throwing heat at the grapes?
No. She would just, you know, just a little toss. Yeah. Like, if like not like, you know, it's not like you're.
She's a position player coming in relief.
It's more of a, oh, see. Now, listen. I'm going to say something, and I don't want this taken out of context, and I should not be dumped because this is a legitimate thing.
Okay. Should not be dumped is the key word.
It's like when you play cornhole. When you toss the beanbag underhand, Joel, you shut it up. That it's more of a that kind of toss, a cornhole toss, than an overhand pitch thing.
I mean, so I don't know how he would survive an overhand
right.
pitch to the testicles, to be
that
honest with you.
That doesn't sound like anything that I would want done anywhere
ever.
Near my boys.
But in essence, she is a position player coming in relief. It just lines up.
But that's a true story. That's an honest to God true. Like, he would put on hose, like garter belts and, you know, stockings.
What does that have to do with it?
I have no idea. It's not mine. It's not my fetish.
Dressing like Oscar De La Hoya and then take oranges to the testicles.
Yeah. And she would just.
Or Marv Albert.
I don't even know how long. We were dying laughing when she's telling us. I'm crying. I'm like, oh my God, this is the weirdest.
That is the weirdest thing ever.
But I'm like, I guess he just pays for an hour. And then I don't even know if they had sex. Honest to God, I didn't even ask.
He just wanted that throw. That's so bad.
Amazing.
That's like easy money for her.
But here's the question that I should have asked is how do you, like they say some fetishes happen. Like if you're like, I don't know, if you're into belly buttons, which I did actually know a guy that was his fetish.
You know,
was
a lot
belly
of guys
buttons.
That have some pretty weird.
No, there was when I was in, when I lived in Huntsville with my ex-wife, there was twin sisters that lived next to us, and one of their boyfriends had a belly button fetish. And I never understood that either. Like, that's weird.
How do you know about all these fetishes that your friends have? Your friends have these fetishes, not you.
No. He told me. He was like, yeah, dude. I got with her because she's got, like, she's hot. And I was like, yeah, I mean, she's cute, you know? He was like, nah, but her belly button. I was like, what? He was like, dude, she's got a beautiful, she's got a beautiful belly button.
How many times do you think she had to tell him that's not it?
Right? He's like, I know. It is for me.
It's great. Dude.
She's like, yeah, that's the wrong spot. And he's like, not for me. It's not.
No. Jeez.
But yeah, I don't understand that. But I think that they say that there's something psychological that triggers that. Like maybe his mom had like a disgusting belly button. Maybe it was like an Audi that like hung down.
Hairy.
And it was like, yeah, or hairy or something weird. And so that triggers a fetish in you as a child that you carry with you into your adulthood. So I could understand like maybe, again, your mom has a weird belly button or you laid on her stomach as a child and you were next to the belly button and that's all you saw and now you have this weird fetish. But how your fetish becomes having someone throw oranges at your testicles.
I was gonna say, yeah.
What is that? Did your parents own an orange grove? And one day, like, I can't even come up with a scenario that says that's the fetish I'm going to have for the rest of my life. I don't get that. It's the weirdest damn thing I've ever heard.
You ain't kidding,
sexually.
Because it's another thing to say, yeah, you know what? I got to think for oranges, but not to have them ricochet off my grapes.
Yeah
that's.
Yep.
That's
I don't understand.
And then you're throwing on garters and stuff?
No, Lenny Jobin said, the orange thing you were talking about is very common. The girls are called Citrus Mistresses.
I don't get out of here. No, get out of here.
I don't believe you, but I am going to Google Citrus Mistress and see what happens.
What is a Citrus Mistress? What?
Boy, my history. If I ever die, could y'all someone delete my browser history from all the stuff that I Google for this show?
I thought
show?
You'd go incognito, bro.
No, you think that was just an Ohio thing for Lenny that he knew about that?
I don't know. There's a Citrus Mistress IPA.
Oh, I didn't even hear what
Hop
you said.
Hop Valley Brewing Company.
Well, you can have your brew and take it too.
But I don't see that's just no. I don't see that. Sorry, Lenny. I think you're lying.
I just seriously,
don't understand it.
You think that's a category on Pornhub?
For sure. To me, that wouldn't be that weird if it was on Pornhub, honestly.
Oh, I got to turn down the sound. That's not going to be good. Let's see.
Stay tuned for Semen Blue.
Oranges.
Berries on.
It has to pop up. There's no way. There's no way Pornhub does not have a category for that. There's no way.
Nope.
There isn't?
Nope.
Zach Greinke's not having a very good day, boys. Zach Greinke has not had his A game.
A lot of foot stuff popped up for oranges.
Just gave up a two-run bomb.
Weird. Did he?
Rays lead the Stros 4-2.
Hope you're not listening, Uber Mike.
Fourth. Yeah.
Sorry about this. Sorry about this rating you're going to get for the oranges. The new. Never mind. I'm not making any stupid jokes.
I can't believe I don't understand, that someone though. Actually thinks.
But
that,
I meant
that's
to.
Enjoyable.
I did all that to say that. What if you had to come out like you know. Gay people and bisexual people feel like they have to come out and tell you, what if that guy had to come out and be like, hey, I'd love to be an accountant at Halliburton, but just so you know, I like it when girls throw oranges at my testicles. Is this cool? And everybody would be like, you're not working here ever again. I mean, that would suck. So I have empathy for guys like Ryan Russell. I feel bad for that he feels like he has to do that. Now, if it involved oranges, I don't feel sorry for him.
We're going to go from this to fantasy football talk with Sigmund Bloom coming up next.
Well, we go from one fantasy to another.
Oh, that's the transition we needed right there. Sigmund Bloom joins us next. He's going to talk some fantasy, not oranges. He's going to talk about football. If you got questions, get them to us now. You can start calling to get them in. Otherwise, text or tweet them. That's going to start off the second half of the show. Don't go anywhere. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Hello. To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Here we go. Second half of the show starts right now on ESPN 97.5. You got The Usual Suspects. You know when it's 2:30 on a Thursday. It's time for the one, the only, Sigmund Bloom. You can catch him at Sigmund Bloom on Twitter, and you can go to footballguys.com for anything and everything you need for your fantasy football league. Sigmund, as always, pleasure having you on the show. Again, final week of preseason. Anything at all, we were talking about this earlier, that you're keeping an eye on as we get ready for this final exhibition?
Well, not much in the games tonight, although, you know, it deserves to be said, like Andrew Luck reminding us of the human side of the game that, you know, there's a lot of players who, like, everything's on the line for them in these games if they get their spot. But really, Ezekiel Elliott and Melvin Gordon, these are the two situations we're paying the most attention to that will have the most effect on our draft, that we have to be ready, like the Andrew Luck, the folks drafting last Saturday night, Andrew Luck's retirement breaks during the draft, so it's a good thing we have our phones usually beside us when we're drafting.
And then, you know, first right off the top, I was talking to the guys about this earlier. With Jerick McKinnon's situation with the Niners,
right.
We knew he was out. Then we had heard he was still going to be the number one. Then he had some kind of a setback. Now they're saying that, you know, the ACL rehab may keep him out for a substantial amount of time. How do you see that situation?
He's going on injured reserve or maybe even somehow getting released. So I think that Matt Breida looks as good as Tevin Coleman, if not better than Tevin Coleman. And he's going 3-4 rounds after Tevin Coleman. So I think this is pretty easy. If you want to take a 49ers back, you take Breida, But let's not forget Raheem Mostert, who's the number three and looked very good when he got in last year before he broke his arm. So this could be just like last year with the 49ers, a revolving door of starting running backs.
Sigmund, thanks for joining us again. I saw an article you posted on the, I think it was yesterday. It's the preseason waiver wire rankings and suggested bids.
Yeah.
And you talked, there were some names at the top of that list that I found to be interesting. You had Darwin Thompson, running back out of Kansas City. And you kind of had some plus 50% and 25 to 50%. Yeah. Tell me what that means, and let's just talk about the first couple of three on that list.
Yeah, so the evolved fantasy waiver wire system is giving each team a budget, let's say 100 units at the beginning of the season, and then you can spend and try to bid, blind bid each week for players on the waiver wire. And, you know, there's strategy involved. You spend early for players you can hold on to all year and have a bigger impact. You save it for later when you're one of the only ones with a lot of money so you can have the hammer. And those are guidelines, really rough guidelines. And I do this with my waiver wire column at Football Guys every week, where I'll give you ideas of who I would prioritize over other players and a rough guideline, but you know better than I do how your league's bid. So if your league hasn't moved to this, it's kind of just worst to first or first come, first serve. I think this is a much superior system. So really what we're looking at here in the preseason waiver wire are players that if you drafted, say, at the beginning of training camp, might not have been drafted, and some of these leagues will have a waiver wire run before the season starts. So the biggest names are these rookies, right? Tony Pollard, who now could start 1, 3, 6 games in a great situation and looks good. Darwin Thompson, who looks like the clear number two in Kansas City, may even get some red zone work. He's a jackpot hold if Damian Williams goes down. And then Justice Hill, who's just been so dynamic. And sometimes you look at these guys like Powder and a match, and that's the Baltimore running game, and Justice Hill, if he just gets a chance, they may not be able to put that genie back in the bottle, and they're facing Miami week one, so that could be a game where he gets the second half when the game is out of hand to really show what he can do.
Well, I appreciate the article because of you. I had Ebron just sitting on the bench because of the Luck, retiring, and then I saw you had Justin Jackson listed who was available, so I'm feeling better about my bench now thanks to you. So I appreciate that article, and I want to encourage people, and I'm getting a lot of people asking me about it, but footballguys.com, mm-hmm. It's going to get you ready for your draft and keep you going in season with all these articles, so make sure you check it out. You want to go to the phone?
Yeah,
lines
with
first?
That being said, Darian's been holding for a while. He's got a question for Sigmund. Yeah. Darian, what's up?
Hey, Sigmund, how you doing? Got a couple questions this week. I know we got some concerns with the O-line, so I'm torn between Nick Chubb and David Johnson, but wild card choices, Adrian Peterson, and I'm going to throw out Jaquizz Rodgers for the Boner Boys.
Yeah, you know, with Adrian Peterson, Darius Geis is looking really good. So I don't even think you really need to hold Peterson at this point, even though they might use him enough to be annoying if you have Darius Geis. Chubb versus David Johnson, we've got concerns about both of these offensive lines. I still like what David Johnson will do. I'm thinking Arizona's offense may start slow as Baltimore and Detroit, it's Carolina. These are the first three games. I think that Detroit's up week one. These teams can run the ball, and Arizona's defense is so bad that they may not get a chance to really do much with that offense. But I still think David Johnson's the guy you want, especially in a PPR league over the course of the season. If it's a non-PPR league, there's an argument for Chubb, but of course Kareem Hunt will be back after 8 games. And we're not sure what that's going to do to Chubb's numbers.
All right, Trevor has a question for Sigmund. Trevor, you're up. Go.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Sigmund loves the podcast. Real quick, with Joe Mixon, is that somebody you trust as a mid to late RB1 in a deep PPR league? And you talk a lot about the skill guys with the Kansas City Chiefs. Do you feel the same about the Minnesota Vikings, or is Kirk Cousins the value there?
Yeah. Certainly – I would say with the Vikings, I'm not quite as excited about them as the Chiefs, but I'm more excited about them as I was at the beginning of camp. It looks like they're doing the Kerry Kubiak, Rick Dennison offense that your listeners are very familiar with, mm-hmm. And Dalvin Cook looks good. I think it'll be higher percentage passing game. That offensive line looks better. So I'm more open to Adam Thielen and Dalvin Cook taking Kirk Cousins late. They start the season against Atlanta. I think they've got Green Bay and Seattle early. These are all games that could be good games for them in the passing game. As far as Mixon goes, I'm worried about Cincinnati, but could it be worse than it was in December when he was looking really good? So I'm not going to talk anybody out of taking Mixon. I like Connor a little bit better. I would take Mixon over, say, Le'Veon Bell, though. So I still like Mixon near the end of the first, early second round.
And how did you say, Sigmund, that Washington running back situation is going to iron itself out with AP and with Geis?
Yeah, look, Darius Geis looked good. And John Kime, who I really trust, who's ESPN beat reporter for them, says 60% of the carries for Washington will go to Geis, or up to 60%, which I don't know if that's going to be fantasy relevant unless Geis is breaking big plays. You know, Trent Williams, maybe Trent Williams will be a Houston Texan soon. I don't know. But he's not going to be a Washington Redskin, at least by his indications. So that just makes me not excited about this offense, and I don't really want to invest in any pieces of it. But certainly Adrian Peterson, you know, maybe if he got traded to the Texans along with Trent Williams, that we'd like him a little better.
All right, Jay, you're up. Go ahead, bud.
All right, guys. I have Kareem Hunt on my bench, and I'm getting trade offers for, like, Kenny Stills and Philip Lindsay. Is he worth keeping on my bench, or should I start active looking at some of these trades? Thanks, guys.
Well, Philip Lindsay for Kareem Hunt sounds okay to me. I mean, I know that Royce Freeman's going to play a role there in theoretic eventually, but I'll still rather see what Lindsay, if he can be as good as he was last year for those first eight games. The offensive line should be better with Mike Munchak coaching that line. Joe Flacco actually is an improvement in quarterback play. That being said, Hunt's value is going to get better every week. And when he does return, everyone's going to wish they had him just to see what the reveal is, see how good he can be, even as a second punch, like a lightning to the thunder of Nick Chubb. He could absolutely be fantasy relevant. So for Lindsay, yes, but I wouldn't give him away for Stills, although Stills could get released or traded and end up in a lot better situation than in Miami, so we're going to watch that.
Got a tweet from Nick and Beaumont. He said, hey, it's my first time playing in a non-PPR league. Is there a different drafting strategy than a PPR league? I said go running backs early, but what does the expert say?
That's exactly right. You hit it. It's like the throwback to 20 years ago before we had PPR scoring, and it's all, the running back is king. And even some players like Patrick Mahomes, because it's non-PPR, the scoring of running backs, tight ends, and wide receivers are all depressed. So that makes Patrick Mahomes worth a little more, or whoever your favorite quarterback after that is, Deshaun Watson or Carson Wentz or Aaron Rodgers. Getting a good quarterback is a little more important, even though quarterback's really deep.
All right, somebody had a text that said, Pollard, is he a flex or an RB2 while Zeke is out?
Maybe an RB1.
Okay. I mean,
look at the matchups the first 3 weeks. I think it's the Giants, Miami, and Washington. Those are all games that Dallas is going to control. Right. So, Pollard's really worth it, yeah.
Yeah, we always give credence to the phone line first. Let's get Chris in and get his question, then I'll try to hit you with a couple more random text questions. Go ahead, Chris. Sure.
Hey, what's up, Sigmund? Hey. Trying to see if you would go with Marvin Jones or Michael Gallup.
Ooh. You know, Marvin Jones is going to be a safe play week one against Arizona. So if I had to play the player, I would probably pick Marvin Jones. But if I'm just picking someone on my bench to break out, I might be more inclined to take Gallup because Amari Cooper has that heel foot issue. If he's not comfortable, Gallup, every report about him is that he's taking the next step. If they need him to do more because Cooper is more of a decoy or not effective early in the season, Gallup could start really hot. So Gallup's a stash away, Marvin Jones in week one.
All right, let's get some of these texts in real quick. Rapid fire. Is Jared Cook of the Saints a value pick in late rounds?
Yeah, if you can get him as a 7th or 8th tight end, he could easily be top 5.
If available as the top-rated running back one left in round one, should I take Ezekiel Elliott?
Yes, and just make sure you take Tony Pollard in the 7th or 8th, or take somebody like Duke Johnson that you're comfortable starting as your running back to, just in case.
How high should I grab Patrick Mahomes?
It depends on your scoring. I won't talk people out of taking him in the first round. 6-point pass touchdown leagues where you get distance bonuses for touchdowns, leagues where you get bonuses for 300 passing yards. These are all leagues where Patrick Mahomes can still be a league winner for you. And that, in no league should he fall farther than the 4th round.
All right, last one. At what point would you take DeAndre Hopkins over a running back in round one?
I still would probably take Ezekiel Elliott over him. I still think there's a decent chance we're going to see Elliott. It gets tougher when we get to David Johnson and James Conner and Nick Chubb. So probably around the 6th, 7th, 8th pick.
There he is, Sigmund Bloom from footballguys.com, the man, the myth, the legend. Sigmund, how can the people get in touch with you? What does footballguys.com have going on? Tell them about the Draft Dominator app and the Lineup Dominator and all that fun stuff.
Thank you. Yeah, and we've got all kinds of new lineup optimizers for DFS that we're rolling out. So we've got our mobile Draft Dominator. That's free. That's like having us look over your shoulder when you draft. Tonight on Twitter, we're doing Ask FBG. That's the hashtag.
Oh.
5 to 11 Eastern. We're taking your questions. I'm going to be there from 6 to 7 Eastern. 5 to 6 Central. And you show up at Sigmund Bloom. If you do the hashtag AskFBG, I'll try to answer your question. Plus, we've got fantasy Hall of Famers like David Dodds and Joe Bryant and lots of other great staffers on hand for that. So take advantage.
Well, I'm getting tons of people asking me, Barry, what's that app you talked about for drafting? So hopefully peeps are getting on this Draft Dominator because I love it and I swear by it. And I think people will be pleasantly surprised at how awesome it is. So we appreciate you, man. We'll talk to you next week, Sigmund.
Appreciate you. Thank you.
All right, Sigmund Bloom, footballguys.com. Some of you guys are going to win money. Some of you guys are going to make some money playing fantasy football. But if you don't win money, I still have a way you can get money and put it in your pocket. It's called Get Upside. If you're not using Get Upside, why are you wasting time? Why are you wasting money? Download Get Upside to your phone right now. Put it on your phone. It's completely free. You don't have to sign up. You do sign up, but you don't have to commit to anything long term. You don't have to, like, you know, overcommit or be locked in anything. If you don't like it, this is what I tell people because they're like, I don't know. If you don't like it, just don't use it. It's that simple. But I know you're going to like it because you like money and you like getting money back, your money, and you like keeping it in your pocket. And that's what you do with GetUpside. So download it and put it on your phone. And when you do, put in my promo code Barry, B-A-R-R-Y. That's going to get you an extra bump in the cash back department on your first fill up through the GetUpside app. And there's over 500 gas stations around the city, Shells and Exxons. These are legitimate gas stations, not, you know, places that look kind of sketch. Maybe there's a little water in the gas or whatever. Nope, these are good gas stations, and you're going to get cash back when you use them. And like I said, you get up to 25 cents a gallon. And those do exist. I've seen them. Clarence was pointing out some. And also, don't forget the food options. You can get a lot of money back if you eat out a lot by using the GetUpside app, up to 35% every time. Try that Popeye's chicken sandwich. And there's a bunch of stuff that's getting added all the time. I saw where they've added Dunkin' Donuts. I'm super pumped about that. Because now I can get breakfast and get cash back at the same time. You're going to love the app, but you got to go download it right now. Make sure you do and put in my promo code Barry. Start getting that cash back and thank me later.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, wrapping up hour number 2, 3-hour show, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Top of the hour. Hammer time.
Oh, see?
You want me to do the
no.
You want me to do the Texas Hammer instead of the Texas Hammer?
Big hammer.
I do like that Nicholas sent out a picture.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Chris did.
Chris did, yep.
From the stream, and it's Joel doing the eye.
Why do you got to tell them what it was? It could have been that they just caught me at a certain time.
Well, it's either that or you're making fun of the dude from WWE that has Bell's palsy. What's his name?
Not even going there.
What's his name? Oh, God, that's Steve Austin's theme music. Who's that? JR. JR, didn't he have Bell's palsy?
Jim Ross?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he did.
Does he have that?
It goes away eventually, but I'm sure he had it, yeah.
Maybe.
That's what Joel looks like. He's making fun of him. In fact, I know that's what Joel is doing right
gas.
There. No, please.
Oh, come on.
Get out of here.
You get out of here.
Yeah, by the way, we were talking before Sigmund Bloom joins us. Thank you to Sigmund Bloom. Mm-hmm. Well, we were talking about that weird fetish that the guy had with the oranges. And somebody texted and said, if her aim with those oranges was that good, the Astros bullpen could use her. not a bad point you have there.
How far away is this chick? Because when you were telling the story, I'm like, I mean, is she Verlander or something that she can? She's got accuracy, or
right? By the way, somebody texted and said, Joel, can I get a Hammer birthday shout out? Love the show, guys. So you gonna give him a Hammer birthday now? Are you taking requests now? Like a
yeah?
Like
I don't know jukebox? If I'm doing that, but I mean, I'm telling you, we could get Mo to do the
no
hammered him.
No, see that we don't need any of that. No.
Senorita, I saved you mucho dinero and hammered him for $8.33. Ha ha!
You are wild. By the way, Youngblood and several others said he had a stroke. I thought it was Bell's palsy.
Oh, well, there you go. Now you've clarified.
Now we know. No one's had the battle. Titan Hugo asked us a question, and Nick, I wanted to see if you saw this too. Did you see where BJ Penn got knocked out in a street fight?
I did. That's crazy.
Yeah, I think at one point he dropped his hands and told the dude, hit me. And that's a bad strategy in a fight. I feel like if you're going to fight somebody, you should still, even if you're BJ Penn, that dude was fat. And fat guys, they may not be that strong, but they still have weight behind the punches. I don't think I'm going to just let a big dude just punch me.
I felt like it was because the guy was so, I guess he was intoxicated, so he felt like none of his punches would hurt him.
Were going to hurt.
Well, but surprisingly enough, I mean, you saw his head like jerk, kind of come back and then
I just tweeted out, everybody has a button. Everybody has a button. And you can go night-night. I mean, you're BJ Penn. You can still go night-night if you get hit on that jawline. And that's absolutely what happened.
And it's not a good look because he was apparently, the word on the street is that he was bugging Dana White like forever just to get one more fight. And he said, and Dana White made it clear, win, lose, or draw, that this would be his last bout in the UFC. And then he goes off and gets knocked out in Hawaii in a street fight. Yeah. Chuck Liddell was like, man, stop street fighting.
Yeah, why? I mean, you don't have anything to prove.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't get it. That's, I don't know. Is that bases loaded right now?
Oh, yeah. Springer just walked.
Okay.
Stroh's down a run. Altuve at the plate. Two outs, 0-2. Bases loaded. And it looks like he's going to ground out. Nice. So that's it. Stroh's through four. Okay. Trail 4-3. I was going to say when we were talking NBA just briefly, but did you see this story that the A's closer? I mean, look, we see all the Astros players that like to sit behind home plate. They like to go to the games. It seems like the players themselves have a good relationship. And the closer for the A's just came out and said, and that's why I think Houston fans are going to love this. Liam Hendricks said, he loves that the Warriors are leaving Oakland because, quote, they treated us like crap, we'll just say, and are a bunch of a-holes.
Really?
Yeah. So they asked him to elaborate, and he basically told The Athletic, I don't follow the Warriors, and they treated us like crap over here, so we don't care much for them. When the Warriors sucked and the A's were good, the A's were giving them tickets. When the Warriors became good, they decided to cut all ties and become a-holes, so no love lost for them leaving. And he recalled with a laugh, I got told I'm not as important as a player for the A's as just a fan for the Warriors by a Warriors security guard. He wouldn't let us out of the parking lot we were trying to get out of because the two stadiums are butted up against each other, and he wouldn't let us out.
Wow.
These are
grown-ass men. Why are you so, like, this seems like very petty.
It does, and yet, I mean, you would think that, kind of like we talk about a brotherhood, it doesn't matter what team you're on, like players in any league stick together.
Just athletes.
Yeah, one year you could be enemies, the next year you could be on the same team. But you'd think you'd also respect other athletes. You see it all the time, whether it's award shows or otherwise. When I was with the Rockets and people used to come and sit courtside, it didn't matter. NFL guys would acknowledge and say, hey, you know, whether it's an MMA fighter or a baseball player or whoever, they'd be like, man, you know, appreciate what you do, stuff like that. So it's a little bit surprising. But, I mean, look, I mean, you knew Chris Paul, James Harden, all those guys. They went to Astros games. They were in it. And it's not just because Tillman had tickets. They're baseball fans. So it shocks me a little bit that you got teams in the same city. You know, you're trying to keep that kind of city unity and, you know, back us, back them kind of thing.
Yeah, it would be. It is kind of weird that you wouldn't show love from the different sports in the same city. And I get that, you know, if there's famous people, if there's, you know, actresses and actors or rappers or musicians or whatever, that's one thing. But then to not show some appreciation to the fellow athletes and fellow sports teams, because it is one of those things where even in Houston, I think, though, I don't know that all these teams kind of, you know, are collectively Houston sports. I think they like to pretend like it.
But
you were with
JJ.
The Rockets. Did the Rockets really reach out to the Astros and the Texans? Was this all like a kumbaya thing?
Well, Tad Brown wouldn't, because Tad Brown was just anti everything other than Rockets.
Okay, so
But I think from players to players, they look at J.J. Watt. J.J. Watt is a Wisconsin kid, but from the time he got to town, and we said, look, he's also a smart guy. He understands it, but he has become a big fan of the Rockets. He's become a big fan of the Astros. He's always wearing the hats after practice. He's always talking about, hey, you know, shout-outs and good luck to the boys tonight as they take on the Lakers or whatever.
Yeah, but that's different than the organizations giving tickets to the athletes. I mean, that's J.J. Watt showing support on Instagram isn't the same thing as the Rockets saying, oh, George Springer, you want to come sit courtside? Sure, no problem.
I think it's changed a lot with Tillman in terms of, I think, the Astros. Because before, it's like, if you know a player, if you're a player and you know a player, they'll hook you up.
Okay.
But if you're looking for the organization to do it, it's almost, I think that from, I don't think it's reciprocal. I think the Astros would do it. Right. I think in my experiences, the Rockets would be like, well, how much do they want to pay and where do they want to sit? And we'll get you to our ticket person that's going to charge you for those.
That's awful.
Yeah. And that's just, you know, different organizations that handle it differently. And if that's the way you're looking to make a buck, I mean, look, you know you're going to get so much play out of whoever's sitting courtside, especially if it's a big name. But they handle it differently. And I think that when you look at the Astros, they were always quick to say from the other teams, you know, you want to throw out the first pitch. You know,
yeah.
We want to have you there. But I think Tillman changed a lot of that in a lot of ways because Tillman's, he's got all those tickets behind home plate. I think he's a minority owner of the Astros.
Is he?
I think he's got some minority ownership or something. But I know that he's a big time whatever partner between Landry's and because he's got the tickets behind home plate.
Well, what I find weird is that they may not be doing it from organization to organization. But I do know guys like Derek Lewis will show up at Texans games or Astros games or Rockets games. So they don't mind showing that love to other athletes individually. So maybe it's just a jealousy thing. I don't know. It just seems kind of weird.
There's been a lot of pettiness over the years, but I think that hopefully because Jim Crane and Tillman have such a great relationship, a lot of that is buried. And I don't really know the Texans part of it. But, I mean, you see all the captains that the Texans have for their home games, and it does run the gamut of all Houston athletes. Yeah. So you would think that they probably don't. But I think you go through the players, you get it done. You go through organizations, you run the risk of them wanting to get your credit card.
Mm. So, interesting.
We'll all right, two in the books, 1 hour still to go. Final 60 minutes, and our special guest, Mo Hammer, joining us next. Don't go anywhere. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.